नमस्ते सबको, जय मसीह की। आई वुड लाइक टू ग्रीट यू ऑल इन द प्रेशियस एंड मैचलेस नेम ऑफ आवर लॉर्ड एंड सेवर जीसस क्राइस्ट। एंड इट इज गुड टू बी हियर एंड आई प्रेज द लॉर्ड दैट द वंडरफुल ऑपर्चुनिटी गॉड हैज गिवन मी टू बी हियर। आई ग्रीटेड यू अकॉर्डिंग टू द इंडियन कस्टम्स। In India, when you meet someone, if he is from other faiths, we just say namaste with a folded hands. And if he is not, if he is a Christian, we say Jai Masih Ki. Jai Masih Ki means hail to Jesus Christ. Hail Jesus Christ. So whenever you come to India, if you happen to meet a Christian believer, please greet him with Jai Masih Ki, and he'll be very happy because that is hail Jesus Christ. The other is very common there, and here we just shake hand with you, say hi, hello, all these things. But in most of the places, it is not possible. When you go to a village, people never try to shake hand with you. They say that namaste, especially with the ladies, and ladies to ladies and men to men. They may possibly just shake hand with each other. And I do praise the Lord for this wonderful opportunity God has given me to come into this place. And maybe this is my 38 days of traveling around in America. This is my first visit to America. And I have not gone out of India for any time. And I praise the Lord that God has given me this opportunity to come to America and be with you this morning in this service. Well, I came here to attend one of the pastors' conference of International IFCA. From there onwards, I'm just traveling, being with churches for a week and staying with someone's house and then again going to a church. And for the last 2 weeks, I am in Colorado Springs, and I am staying one of my friends. I met here a nice friend, and we became very close, Mr. Andy, and he is a member of the Grace Bible Church, and he is worshiping with them, a good friend of Pastor Jeff. During the first week of my stay here, I visited one of the pastors' conference in the Mesa Hills Bible Church. That is the time I met a lot of pastors there. And that is the time I met Pastor Terry Ball, and I just introduced myself because that is the way I should do it, because they don't know what I am, who am I, why I am here. So I should introduce myself, and I said I am Pastor Phil from India, here to just introduce our ministry. So then I told him, so he said, well, we are supporting a lady in India. I said, then he told me, so we are going to finish the support by the, maybe by next month itself. I then immediately said, why don't you think about supporting me? I mean, it came out from my mouth, knowingly, without knowing what is the future, how it is going to happen. So, after 1 week, I was supposed to go to Grand Junction, Colorado Grand Junction, and then Pastor Dennis, and I met him in Tulsa IFCA convention, but somehow that program got cancelled. I was little discouraged where to go and whom to contact, because I want to use my time very fruitfully, so that when I go back and I can say that what God has brought me here, and I have accomplished, because I am here not to just visit the places. I am here to just introduce about our work and tell you about what we in India, our pastors are doing, and we need your prayers. So I told Pastor Jeff what to do. Two programs have been cancelled on 5th August and 12th August. So I didn't know what to do. Then I just immediately thought of Pastor Terry Ball, and I just told him that you can support me later when you have completed supporting your people. They are the lady there. So I immediately got his number, and I already took the addresses and everything, because as a businessman, I should do all these things, you know, suddenly get into the picture and get their address. Otherwise, it won't be possible next time. So I just telephoned him, and without any hesitation, he said, "Yes, Pastor Philip, you can come to our church on 5th. So after that, I had gone to Kansas, Goodland, then again came back to Colorado Springs, and I stayed with my brother, and today I am here. So if God willing, next week I'll be traveling to California, and from there to a few more states, and then back to India. You ask me why you are here, because many people asked me this question: what is your purpose of being here, and why you have come here? So it's a good question. I mean, you can also ask me this same questions, because this is my first time coming to America, and I have heard many things about America. I have met many people from America, because I served as a chaplain of a Christian medical college in Punjab. So many students come there, and I teach them. They come for MBBS classes, and for first year and third year, I take Christian ethics for them. So I have a lot of people there. So I know a little bit about America, but not much at all. So I thought when I come to America and then meet people like you and introduce our ministry, and I just request for your prayers. So my aim is to be here to tell what we do in North India. I come from Punjab. It's a northern part of India. But my homeland is not in Punjab. I am from Kerala. K-E-R-A-L-A. Recently I said this name to someone, and he pronounced it in some other way, so I felt a little bad about it. So I thought I will just give the spelling also, so that you may pronounce in a better way. So it is K-E-R-A-L-I. This is in the southern part of India. It is near Arabian Sea. So I belong to that place. About 20 years ago, we moved from that place to Punjab. That is the northern part of India. So I belong to Kerala. That Kerala is known as the God's own country. Whenever you happen to go to India, don't forget, don't miss visiting Kerala, because that is a beautiful country. It is not because my country, but that is a beautiful country, because in history says it is a God's own country. And there is one more other thing there. You may not agree with me, but I have to say it. Maybe for entertain you. You know, when we have a language, it is known as Malayalam. If you have a pen and a pencil or something with you, you can just write down that name and that word, Malayalam. So when you read from both sides, it is Malayalam. That language is Malayalam. From the beginning you read it, from the end you read it, it is Malayalam. So we say that is the heavenly language. So when you go to heaven, people will be talking in Malayalam. If you don't learn Malayalam, you'll have a lot of difficulties. Praise the Lord. And God helped me to be here from Kerala, and we moved to Punjab. We are in the church planting ministry. I was in the hospital as a chaplain for 14 years. That is the time I felt the need of full-time ministry. And God just showed me some vision about some of the people, those who are doing the ministry there. And then I asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Leaving my good job, my good salary, and from the hospital work, to go to a place or go to a ministry where I was not at all trained." Before I came to Punjab, I was in the radio ministry. I was a radio artist, singing for radio and making programs. I was in the program productions. So we air programs in more than about 18 different languages. I was in Bangalore. Pastor may be knowing about Bangalore. Many of you know Bangalore. So I was there for 10 years. So my field was not at all church planning ministry. When God showed me the need, I had to say yes to the Lord and leave my best job and go to the field. I don't know what to do, where to go, how to start with it. I went and met several pastors, independent pastors working in the field. I go to their houses and stay with them. It is very difficult to stay with them because the difference of food and the difference of languages and the culture, because I am from a Syrian Christian family. And let me tell you, people ask me sometimes, so are you a Christian? Well, I don't know how to say about it because I am originally from Christians. We are from the early Christians. I don't know how to explain it. If you can just think about, take your imagination back to AD 50 to when the history says one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, Saint Thomas, the doubting apostles, came to India and he came to down in Kerala. And he started 7.5 churches. And the history says we are the first Christian converts from the highest Brahmin families. So I am born and brought up in a Christian family. That doesn't mean that I was a believer. At the age of 18, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior. So when I was 22 years old, and my mother's decision and desire was me to go for a Christian, full-time Christian ministry. But I was not at all interested. I was very much interested in writing dramas and singing and having play on the stage and doing lot of things like that. But my mother was very much upset with me and he was not very happy. To just please her, I just went to a Bible seminary. I was there for 2 years. I tell you, that was the time that God has molded me very much. And God molded me in a such a way that I had to submit my complete life to the Lord. And I decided for the full-time ministry. See, after committing my life, I know there was a meeting one day. And then after that meeting, and there was a wonderful song. And that is in English. I would like to sing that song. Already we sang that song here in our worship. But it's a wonderful song. I love singing. It's not because I am a good singer, but I love singing. And I just want to sing that one or two stanzas for the glory of God. If anybody asks me, what is your testimony? Or this song is my testimony. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that me save thus far, and grace will lead me home. There is nothing else, it's only God's grace, because it is the amazing grace that God has. I know, if somebody asks me, how did you receive your sight? I know only one thing, I was blind, but now I can see. So praise the Lord for this wonderful opportunity. And we are in Punjab at present. I have a family and wife, two children. My children are grown up. And then I am a grandfather. But I don't like me calling grandfather now. But I feel I'm little young still. But I have two grandchildren. And my son is also in the ministry, and he is having a ministry in one of the town, about 2 hours bus journey from our town, and he is doing a Lord's work there. Well, in Punjab, when most of the states in India have been closed down for Christian ministry, Punjab is still open for gospel. That is the one reason I just resigned from my job and went into the field. Because when I went to the field and I noticed that several people are very much hungry for the gospel. You know, I don't know how many of you know about Punjab, but when I came to America, when I say that I am from Punjab, very few people know about Punjab. So they know I am from India. So it is one of the northern part of India and near to Pakistan border. So we are near Pakistan border. It's only just when you come to Punjab, I'll take you to Pakistan border. It's only just 3 hours drive from there, and we can just see the march past. Every evening, the soldiers, the army personnel, they exchange their flags each other. It's a wonderful scene. And whoever comes to Punjab, they go and watch it. So we are bordered near to Pakistan border. So this Punjab is dominated mainly by the Sikh. I don't know when I say it is not S-I-C-K, it is S-I-K-H, Sikh. Have you seen people, you might have seen people having turbans and long beard and having long nose also. So they are known as the Aryans, and they are Aryans. The India is consisted of two different people, Dravidians and Aryans. So these people are known as Aryans. They live in Punjab. So their religion is known as Sikhism. They don't have any idol worship at all. They have 10 gurus. So they follow what the guru has already said. Now, no more guru there. They have their book. It is known as the Granth Sahib, the Lord's book. So that is the book they just keep and read in the Gurudwara. Their temple is known as Gurudwara, not as a temple. It is built very magnificently, spending a lot of money. When you go to Punjab, you will go to a place called Amritsar. It is known as the Golden City. That is the center of the Sikh religion, and they have a golden temple. It is built in the middle of a river. It's a big lake, and maybe around 4 miles, maybe kilometers around, it is water. It is in the middle, and everything inside and outside is built by gold. So it is a wonder. I know hundreds of people from America come there and to watch this golden temple. And even they come and serve as volunteers there. Once we went to just for a visiting some places there, and I took some of my friends there, and I saw some American boys and girls, they are serving food there. So I just got hold of them, one of them, and asked them, so how you are be here? Then one of them told me, say, we booked this time at least about 6 months ago to get a chance to come and serve the food here. I don't know how they felt about it to just serve the food in that Gurudwara. So hundreds and thousands of people come there and they do some kind of work there. I don't know whether you have got what I'm trying to tell, that so the people are so religious in Punjab. But there are Hindus, there are Muslims. Around 85% of the people are maybe Punjabi. 70 people are maybe Punjabi. 15% are Muslims. And the rest will be Christians and other religions. But these Punjabis, they are known as Punjabis, or otherwise Sardarjis. You know Sardarjis, you have seen some of the serials or in the TV, Sardarjis. So they are known as Punjabis. Their language is Punjabi and their religion is Sikhism. So these people are open to gospel. But at the same time, we have a Christian communities there. But they are very poor. Are they 85% of the Christians there are below the poverty lines? Christianity came to Punjab around 150 years ago. So every village, whenever you go, you can see at least one Christian family there. They may be belong to the old Christian families, maybe Anglican churches or something like that. But they are not taught in the word of God very clearly. People work there and many evangelists are working there. So when I came to know about the opportunities and the need of planting local churches with basic Bible teaching, and I thought, what should I do? Then we prayed about it. Some of our people gathered together and we formed a society. And then we got registered the society as Bible Christian Church. So our ministry is known as Bible Christian Church. It is registered in Punjab. And thank the Lord, God has given me a license, a pastor's license from Punjab government, so I can go around and preach the gospel anywhere, and I can conduct marriage. I have an All India marriage license also. So all these things have been made me to just go into the full-time church planning ministry. See, now, as I said, Punjab is open for gospel. But there are Hindus and they are trying to make problems, because till about 1.5 years, Punjab was ruling by the Congress, you know, Congress government. But now it is a communist government, joined with some anti-Christian elements like Bajrang Dal or Shiv Sena, BJP, all these people, political parties. So they are trying to bring a law and order to close down all the conversions and open preaching. It has happened in all around India. So it is going to happen in Punjab also. So about 4 years ago, we registered this church planting ministry. I was not very much keen to do much thing, because I didn't get any sorts from any organizations or any church to support these pastors. But when the time is open for the gospel, many of our pastors and our friends told me, why can't we think about it, pray about it, raise support for these pastors, so that we teach them, they may go and teach the local people, and the word of God will go like that. As our pastor said, when the word of God is taught to them, and the word of God will bring healing and deliverance among the people. So we are there to, I am there to just teach these pastors. At present, we have 11 pastors, and they are all from poor Christian families, and they are not much educated. I cannot just have biblical training for 2 years, or as I did it, so I cannot send them for any biblical training, because they cannot understand the language. So we need to train them for shorter period. So we need to have a training programs. And other than, we don't have any church building for worship. Nobody has any church building. The pastors stay in one room, maybe a kitchen. When you go there, you will understand how they live. When I come to America, so for the first 3 weeks, I was not able to eat anything at all. One thing, it was because I don't know what to eat. When we go to a cafe or any restaurant, lot of the things are on the table there. I don't know how to eat, what to eat. Then, especially with American food, I found it was very difficult. So I just avoided all the foods for 3 weeks, and just I took little fruits and I filled my stomach. But I was getting very hungry, and now I'm trying to eat everything. If you give me some food, I'll eat everything. So because I know what is the taste of the food. But you know, in India, we have only one, maybe it's known as chapati, made out of wheat flour, and then that is, I have seen it from Walmart, you can buy that chapati, that is white bread, and then we boil it, then put it in the microwave oven, and then boil it, and that is our main food there. And then one sabji, that is known vegetable, we call it sabji. So one vegetable, not more than that in anywhere at all, because we cannot have that much. I praise the Lord. People like you, the country like you, God has blessed you and God has given you everything. But think about some people. When I was taking breakfast this morning, I was telling my brother Andy how many hundreds of people, they don't have this much at all. And God has given me everything when I come here. I don't know. I didn't know where I am going, what I am going to eat, where I am going to stay. But God has taken care of everything in a wonderful way. But I think about my people also. So what I want you to do, pray for these people and these pastors. So when you go to their houses, you may not get a place to stay there at all. I mean, to sit there at all. They may ask you to sit on their beds. That is the place for sitting. That is a place for eating. That is a place for sleeping. So they may not have any kind of restrooms here. So when I came here and I just, when I was in the IFC convention, I asked somebody, can I go to a bathroom? So he was looking at me. I said, bathroom? He said, no, there is a restroom there. Then I said, restroom? In restroom in Indian culture, he said, no, they are where you go and take rest. So I thought, what is this restroom? Anyway, I went inside and I knew that it's a bathroom. So wherever I go, if I need to go there and ask people, where is the restroom? Anyway, so we don't have any kind of systems like that. Maybe in the cities, those people are very rich. They may have something like that. So when you think about, when you pray about these people, take your imagination like this and just consider them. They are God's children. And we all belong to one body. And we have one Christ. That's what I am here. That's what I am just telling you. Pray for these people. We have 11 pastors and I need to support them. We don't have any sources till now. I have visited many churches and I shared with them and God will take care of everything. That's what I believe. But I am just giving you this challenge for a prayer. And one pastor with a family needs at least $150. About 3 years ago, Pastor Jeff came to India. That time I met him. And I told him about this need. And he said, how much a pastor may be needing in India? I said, maybe $100 or $150. He said, nothing. It is nothing for our people. I was just thinking, what a wonderful thing now. It is $150. For us, it is around 4,000 rupees. That is to live for a family there. So it is nothing for you and you can pray about it. And I'm looking for a personal support also and pray for me so that I can go around and meet these people. And you may ask, how do you live? My wife is having a small job in the hospital where I am working and we got a small house. We don't need to pay any rent at all, but I need a personal support. So whenever you think about it and you can pray about it. So pray for Punjab. Pray for the open doors now. Thank the Lord for the open doors now. But it is going to be late. It is going to be closed down very soon. I want to do something. I want to teach these pastors, young pastors, and send them to the field. So if I can teach 11 pastors, they will go and teach another 11 people, and those people will go to other villages. So our aim, so we have some brochures with us. You can take these brochures with you and a lot of details are there and you can ask me any questions. If any questions now, because now it is the time to go to the Word of God. And if you have any questions, you can just keep it in your mind. Even after the service, you can ask me and then I'll be able to give answer as possible as it is. So God bless you. Thank you for listening to this report. And I think that when you hear the Word of God, you may be thinking more about what he has said. You know, I just spoke in the language which Indian accent. I hope that you understood what I am trying to tell. So many people said that you speak English well. So I just put up my collar like this and well, that is good. So I praise the Lord so that you can understand me. So if you have any questions, you can again ask me after the service. When I was thinking about giving a message today, many thoughts came to my mind. Because you people have been taught in the basic Bible knowledge. And you don't have any lack in getting a teaching from the Word of God. But when we go to villages, we take simple stories or Bible passages and just make them to understand in their own level. So I know I am speaking to Americans, those who have many knowledge and more knowledge about the Word of God. So when I was considering and visiting most of these churches here, and only one thing it was just giving me little what's called, I said, little I'm feeling sorry about it, that the most of the chairs, the pews were empty. Before coming to America, and still I feel that America is a Christian country, that's what I think. And your rules and your regulations, your country has been established in the faith of God. And that's why God has blessed you. I wonder what is the present situations. Not because only this church, but many other churches I have seen, the seats are very, many, many empty seats are there. See, now we have everything in this world. God has given us everything. And scientifically, we have developed much. A country like India developed much. And a country like America, you have gone to the extreme in every ways. Scientifically and IT technology has been developed very much in every sphere of life. And all the world has become one small village now. I can sit here and talk to my people there in Kerala, maybe a remote village in Kerala, because I have the cell phone. Internet is there. And it is so much developed in everywhere. But the question comes to my mind, what about us as Christians? What development, what growth we are having in our life? Are we grown or are we going down? Decreasing in our Christian faith, in our Christian growth. If there is, what is the reason behind it? Or what we can do? I was just considering about it. And many points came to my mind. This morning, as we sit together and meditate from the word of God the rest of the time, I just wanted to take you to a wonderful passage in the Bible. A very familiar passage. You have heard that passage several times and you have studied even when I was 7 year old child as a Sunday school student. I studied the story. It is a story of young David. And if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Keep your Bible open with me. Here we know that I'm not going to the background of what David has done here or what was it. You know all about it. But I am going to take your imaginations. I'm going to take you to that place where David was fighting against Goliath. And he won the victory over the Goliath. That is very simple. We know that even the Sunday school children say that, David killed Goliath. And we have a lot of stories and skits and also our action songs, many things like that. David killed Goliath. Wonderful things. But consider what made him to do these things. That is my subject for this morning. Maybe how he got the victory. I just wanted to give 5 points. He made some statements here in this passage. You might have noticed earlier, but you may not be. But today, let us take that 5 statements he made while he was facing Goliath, before he attacked Goliath. He made 5 statements. I just wanted to give my text as a subject. The topic is the 5 secrets for a Christian growth. If you feel that I'm not growing in my Christian life, if anybody feels, if the church feels, or if the country feels why there is no growth, there are 5 secrets or points, the things we are going to just learn, discuss, or meditate together, 5 secrets of Christian growth. Now, David is in the battlefield. Philistines, the other side. The Israelites, the other side. In between, Goliath. And he stands every day, morning and evening, and challenges God's people. This is the time young David Goliath, sorry, a young David coming to the battlefield. He did not come there to fight. In fact, when we read the passage, we know that his father told him to go and know the whataboutes and the welfare about his brothers. He might have brought some food for them. And he was there in the battlefield. When he was there, he came to know that there is a man, his name is Goliath, and he is not an Israelite, or he is from another heathen religion, and he is challenging the God of Israelites every day, morning and evening. He could not take it. Oh, what a man he is. We have a living God. He is a heathen. And nobody bothers about him. So David went around in the battlefield and walked among the people, among the soldiers, told them, what is this man is telling? Okay, if somebody just killed that Goliath, what the reward will be given to that man? Saul has already announced, the king Saul has already announced that there will be great reward. I'm not going to take all that passages. You can read it from your when you have a spare time. So Saul has already announced many great rewards. So David was told all these things. Then when he went and told, I would like to go and fight this with this Goliath. When his brothers and other people heard, they came and started shouting at him, immediately go back from here. Your place is not here, your place is in the forest. You go and keep your flock there. You have nothing to do here. So from that time onwards, we can see David is making some statements. So why he got victory? What is the secret of his victory? The first thing that he recognized the call of God. He recognized the call of God. Verse 29, if you just come to leaving many passages of the background of the incident and the story, you come to verse 29. And it is written here, and David said, what I have now done, is there not a cause? I am reading from the KJV, old KJV. Is there not a cause? When he was questioned by his brothers and other people, why are you here? He is telling, is there not a cause for me to be here? That means he recognized the call of God to be there. Many times when the call of God comes to us, sometimes it is very difficult to recognize whether it is from the Lord or not. But David has that spiritual sensitivity to know this is God's call. Is there not a call? Is there not a cause? Yes. There is a cause. Is there not a reason for you to be in this church? Yes. Have you ever thought that why you are in this world? Have you ever thought about it? Why I am in this world? Just live, get education, eat much and become fat, drink, make merry and marry and have children, make good home, and afterwards finally bus finished. That's all. Do you have any aim in your life? Any reason for you to be in this world? Have you ever thought about it? I'm not going to tell all the things, just think about it. Other thing, do you think that you are a member of this church? Is there any cause because you are a member of this church? God has brought you a member to this church. Is any reason behind it? Is there any reason behind that you are a Christian? See, now when I say Christian, according to our culture in Kerala, where I am from, Syrian Christians, we all call ourselves Christians. It doesn't mean that we are believers. All the Christians are not believers, but all the believers are Christians. Okay. So, if you call yourself Christian, unless and until you are a believer, you are not a Christian at least. So you may, by name, you can call yourself Christian. So that's what I was telling to Mr. Andy. So we have many names. William, Robert, Gilbert, James, Jacob. But it doesn't mean that all they are believers. Unless and until you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you are not a Christian believer at all. I was born in a Christian family. My mother prayed for me because before my birth, they have three girl child in our family, children. So my mother was very much anxious to have a boy child. And all in my family, in my father's family, and because you know we have a family setup in mother's and my father's family, so there was no boy at all. So my mother was praying for a boy child. And then, so one of the evangelists in that area asked her, "You are praying for a boy child. So what are you going to do with him?" I will send him for God's work. So full-time God's work. So I was born into this world. And also there is another thing, and I have not told many people at all because it's a small group, and I'm just going to tell. Even I didn't tell my brother Auntie. So you can see a sign at my ear here. Many people ask me, what is it? Can you get it operated? Well, when my mother prayed for it, prayed for a son, and the evangelist said, how do you know that this child is from the Lord? Ask for a sign, so that whenever you see that son, even my relatives all around the world, whenever they see me, they say, oh, here is our son, and God has given him. I thank the Lord for such a wonderful mother. And I was not very much interested for going the God's service, doing the Lord's work at all. I told you, at the age of 22, I committed my life for God's service. So, Christian, see, there is a purpose for us to be here in this world. One thing you understand, your life in this world is not accidentally come. It is not accident at all. God has a purpose for your life. And here, David says that, Is there not a cause for me to be here? God has brought me to this place because you are all frightened because of this Goliath. You are all just hiding just like rats because of the big cat outside. And when the cat is there, and all the rats will be going inside and hiding themselves, all the mouse. So it is just like that only. But God has brought me to this place. So he recognized God's call in this place. Secondly, he recognized his place in God's plan. He is recognizing his place in God's plan. God has a plan to have Goliath come there, challenging the people and having this battle. It is God's plan. So he recognized, David as a young boy, recognized God's plan, his place in God's plan. In verse 32. Come to verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Thy servant will go and fight with these Philistines. Everyone is afraid here. They don't know what to do, where to go. They are just hiding here and they are frightened very much. And this young man coming and telling to King Saul, thy servant will go and fight with these Philistines. David understood that there is a plan for God for himself to be here. And that's why God brought him here. And see now, in India, we need to go and preach the gospel because see that there is an open door now in Punjab. So I understand the time. I understand the value of the time because now it is the time. See, now many of our understanding, we don't very seriously take what the word of God says to us. We just hear something and we think that, oh, I have heard it several times. I know about it. What is new thing about nothing at all, nothing new about it. We just hear from here, this ear and goes from here. Sometimes, because I worked with radio ministry, so we say that tuning to that particular waves. So if suppose you may be sitting here like this. If you are not interested what I am trying to tell you, you may be sitting here looking at me very carefully and your mind will be traveling all around the world. It can be possible. Let me tell you one story, because if you don't get, you will not get sleepy also. There was a meeting going on like this. And then one old lady was sitting in the front. So the pastor, the preacher had a long beard. So, you know, Indian pastors, most of them have long beard, and he was preaching. So whenever he was preaching, and this lady was listening very carefully, and she was weeping in between, and taking the hanky and just wiping the tears, and then doing so many actions. The pastor thought that, oh, wonderful, what a wonderful thing it is that at least one soul I have saved today, and she is listening very carefully. Okay. He thought, okay, as soon as my message is over, before she goes out, I just wanted to meet this lady, and I wanted to find out what is the one particular point that God has touched her very much. So the meeting was over. And everything said, the final prayer was been said. Everyone said, people started going. The pastor went after this lady, said, "Madam, just 1 minute. So, okay, what do you want? I'm very glad that God has touched your heart today. And you are very, very, very carefully listening the word of God. Let me know, what is the one point that has touched you very much?" Then again the lady looked at this man, and she started weeping, taking the cloth and the hanky and wiping the tears. I said, "Pastor, you know, it is very terrible. I can't think about it now. What happened? Tell me what happened. You know, when I look at your face and I look at your long beard, and I remember my God, G-O-A-T, G-O-A-T, I had a God like this, having long beard. And now he's no more. He's no more. So when I was looking at your face, and I was just remembering about my animal." "Sorry, I don't think so that you are doing it like this here. And you are listening to me very carefully." So it can happen. It's just for entertainment sake. Because, see, God has a plan for you. God has a place for you in His plan. Unless and until you recognize the God's plan in your life, and you are not going to be a success at all. You are going to reach that growth at all. See, there is a need for gospel work. There is a need for sending the people to the field. See, at the time of Isaiah, he got a great vision. He saw a great vision. And the call came to him. "Who will go for me? Whom shall I send?" He never said, "Okay, let me call Pastor Philip from India and I will send him some money. And okay, Pastor Philip, here I am. I am calling from Castle Rock Church. We are sending some money for you. Go and preach the gospel there." He never said that. He said, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, here am I. Send me." So this is the plan of God for you. How can you go? Well, take Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. I don't have time to just go ahead it. Okay, so that is the secret. He, first of all, he recognized God's call. He recognized God's plan for his life. And then let us come to the third point. He recognized the divine deliverance of the Lord. Recognizing the divine deliverance of the Lord. That is the third secret of Christian growth. Recognizing the divine deliverance of the Lord. Let us come to verse 37. We know, I hope that you are with me and you are following what I am trying to tell. Here, David has said so many things. And finally, when King Saul came to know about it, so King Saul asked him, "So how you can say that you will go and fight with this Philistine? He's a giant and he's a Goliath. You can see him.
And you are a small boy. Do you have any experience in your life that you have done something like that?
Yes, I have many experiences. At least two examples I can tell you. What was it?
In verse 37, he says that he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with you. Why he said like that? He had some previous experience in his life.
You know what had happened? He fought with some
wild animals and saved his sheep.
Two times. He said, I was in the field, I was in the forest. And I fought with these wild animals and I saved my sheep. And the same Lord who helped me in the past, and he is able to help me in the present also.
Friends, do you have this experience in your Christian life? If you want to have a growth in your Christian life, you should recognize the God's deliverance every time.
You should praise the Lord for what he has done in the past.
God has done great things for you in the past.
What he is doing in the present? He has done great, wonderful miracles in your life. What God is able to do? He is able to do many things for us. So, David recognized this great truth. That's what he said. I don't have any fear in my life. Because he will deliver me. He will give me in my hand. Because God who has delivered me in the past.
Friends, do you have anything in the past you can tell that God has delivered you in the past?
Many, many incidents are there. But we always forget.
God has saved you from many things. From sickness, from dangers, from accidents, from that great need. But what happened?
When we get new things, what happens? You know, the old things we just forget. But the word of God says, Psalms 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and not forget all his benefits. So God has given us a great benefit. And it is a past experience, it is a present living, and it's a future expectations that God has promised that he will deliver us. That was the secret of David's victory. Let us come to the fourth point. He is recognizing his own resource. Recognizing his own resource. Verse 39. Before I read that verse 39, just me tell that little background. Now, finally, King Saul has agreed with David. Okay, now you can go. But you cannot go like this. You are having only a short, maybe a small shot. And what is in your hand? What is it? It's a small bag. What is it? No. You cannot go fight with this Philistine like this. You cannot go fighting like that. You should go inside and wear all army clothes or dresses, soldiers' clothes. So King Saul ordered someone else to take David inside, and they just put him all the soldiers' dress. And then they might have told one of the soldiers might have told David, okay, you just stand there, ready, one, left, right, just try, let me see what are you going to do. Then he thought, sorry sir, please excuse me. And here he says that, verse 39, I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them. And David put them off all these things. I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved them at all. I am not proved them at all. What he means? He said, sir, I cannot take what other people are doing it. I cannot do what other people are doing it. I cannot imitate as other people are doing it. I have my own resources. Today's in the Christian world, in the Christian teaching, I just wanted to tell this one because it happens everywhere. People started following other pastors. What the other people are doing, and I was in Tulsa, where Oral Universities is there. The great man who started doing this healing ministry and prayer tower and everything. You come to India, every nook and corner, every place, if there is a Christian pastor there, he is also having a prayer tower, healing ministry. Whatever the other people are doing, they are also doing it without knowing what is the truth behind it, without knowing whether it is practicable or not. They call out the names of the people. Somebody somewhere has called out the names of the people while preaching the gospel. And they said, okay, Jacob, God is healing you. It might have happened sometime with that pastor. Nowadays, most of the pastors, they are also doing the same thing. The Christians also started doing the same thing. They sit in front of the TV nowadays. So wonderful. What all the preachings comes there and all, lot of preachings are there. But I just wanted to ask you this question this morning. Do you have your resource with you? What is our resource? If you ask me, my resource is the word of God and prayer. There is nothing else. I depend upon the word of God. Say, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I depend upon the word of God. I don't have any other else. I read books. I see the things. I just know, understand about it. If it is not, if I cannot prove with it, I will just get it aside. Because the word of God says, and we have only one model. Who is our hero? Jesus Christ is our hero. And he is our model. Follow Jesus Christ. So have the resource. Take the resources with you. The word of God and the prayer. And study the word of God. Not only studying, it's not only reading, studying. And with prayer, you can commit your life and then you will win your victory. And let us come to the fifth point. Now, let me say a few things before this fifth point. Now, David has already planned. And now, before that, I just wanted to say, he has his resource. What was his resources? He had his resources of one staff. Let me just tell you little about these things. What it represents. The staff represents God's guiding principle. That is the word of God. And then Psalms 23 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then he took five smooth, because we know the story, that's what I'm not going to tell everything. But he took five smooth stones from the brook, from the river, that was not touched by anyone. So it tells, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells some good character for a Christians. It is written like this, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, think of these things. Five stones, okay? I just repeat it. Truth, honesty, justice, purity, and love. So, these are the five character a Christian should have it. A believer should have it. Okay, now he took the stones. Where he kept it? In his bag. That shows our heart. Where should be these good characters? It is not just in the showcase. We have many things in the showcase. Nowadays, many things. All cassettes and everything in the showcase nowadays. So it is not to keep in the showcase. It should be in our heart. And then he had a sling. That shows the readiness of a Christian. For everything. Face the problems. Face the difficulties. Face the happiness. And anything in the life. That shows the sling. So you have seen boys having the sling. So if you see a boy having and just holding a sling, what you will do? Just go to near him. No, I will be just running away from him because we don't know what time he's going to hit. He'll be just standing like this, hitting what time. So sling shows the readiness. So these things, so that is our resources. Okay, now the fifth point. Now, finally, he recognized the God's presence. Now, everything happened and he took everything ready and he was just facing the Goliath. And he did not hit the Goliath yet. But all the people were watching. There was a big crowd there. and all they are watching, what this young boy is going to do, how he is going to fight with Goliath, what he is going to, he doesn't have a sword at all, nothing, not a gun, nothing at all, how he is going to do it. So he looked at the crowd and told, okay, now listen all the crowd, I am not going to fight against Goliath, but God is going to fight against. So God is with me. He make one statement here, verse 47. Here we see that he is recognizing finally the God's presence there. Recognizing the God's presence. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. Friends, you may have all equipments, all abilities, all the things in your in your life. But unless and until the Lord helps you in the battle. We are in the battlefield. All Christian believers are in the battlefield. We have to fight against our enemies. You know who is our enemy? I don't want to go to that subject. We have to fight against our enemies. To fight against our enemies, what we should experience, God's presence all the time. God's presence is with us all the time. Do you experience God's presence every time? In our private life, in our family life, in our community life, personal life. When you come to church, it is very easy to experience God's presence because all are singing and we all sing together. That's okay. What about your private life? Do you experience God's presence there? God is watching us. Maybe no one watches. God is always, his presence as a child of God is always with us. And because the battle is the Lord's, we are not going to fight against our Goliath. We have many Goliath in our lives. Many Goliath in the world, in the Christian field. We cannot fight ourselves. But if the God is with us, and he will fight for us. Let me just conclude it. To have a victorious Christian life, I said five secrets. I think that you remember it. You should recognize God's place, God's call in your life. And God's place in God's plan, and your place in God's plan, and then recognize the divine deliverance from the Lord. Recognize your resource. Don't depend upon others. You have your resources, and recognizing the God's presence every day. So, if God is with us, and who can be against us? So, let us look to the Lord. And God is always with us. And God is taking care of us. God is taking care of your church, your families, your pastor. God is taking care of everything. So let us practice these five secrets. And definitely I know that more than the IT technology, more than the scientific technology, you are going to have a big growth. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for listening to me.